here on Rogue Startups, we answer the hard questions, my friend.
Welcome to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome to episode 130 of Rogue Startups. Today is Celebration Day. Do you know why, Craig?
Because taxes were due a week ago yesterday.
Close. That's a reason to celebrate, and I don't want to take that away from anybody who might be celebrating the fact that they survived their taxes. But today, I am celebrating the fact that we are now published and live in the Shopify App Store for Recapture.
Ooh, cue the music. So huge congratulations. I know that this is like a big growth lever that you've been looking forward to and have had. I think we talked about two episodes ago that talked about some of the trials and tribulations of going through the App Store approval. So that's fantastic, man. You got to be super jazzed, huh?
I am so unbelievably excited. It took a long time, a lot longer than I really expected to get here. I thought if I just checked off all my, dot all my I's and crossed the T's, I'm good. It's no problem. But yeah, just all kinds of little stuff came up, and then the app approval process took longer than I expected it to. I thought I had plenty of time here before Unite and MicroConf, but I mean, I'm cutting it pretty close here. I got a week left to MicroConf and two to Shopify Unite. And, there's still some questions about things on my listing. They went ahead and published it anyway, but I still need to resolve those things. So even with the fact that it's public in the store, I'm still not done yet.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yes.
So that's the inside scoop right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I as far as I know, WordPress does not work like that, right? It's either an all or nothing.
It's totally binary. You're in or you're out, and they don't always tell you when you're out. Sometimes they just kick you. They kick you out first and ask questions later. Yeah. And when you're in, you're pretty much in after that. Like, you can publish updates and do this, and until somebody reports you, it's a very different world. Yeah, but with Shopify, there are people at the gate. They are checking the IDs. They're looking to make sure that they're not forgeries, and they are going to ask you questions. It's like trying to get into one of those clubs when you were in college with a fake ID. There is somebody at the door. They are versed in the fake IDs. They are going to scrutinize it. They've got little scanners, They're going to make sure that you're not getting in with the fake ID. With WordPress, I'd say it's like one of those clubs where if you got, your cousin Jimmy to make you one of those fakes, you were able to kind of get through. And it wasn't until somebody said, "Hey, man, that's a fake." And then they start scrutinizing it,
Oh, this brings back some terrible memories from college. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. So this is actually kind of a question we got from one of the listeners, Paul Bleich, who asked about kind of your experiences specifically with the similarities and differences between WordPress and Shopify and Magento, I guess. Aside from the submission process, we've talked about updates previously, like you said, in WordPress. I know for us with Seriously Simple Podcasting and our modules, our add-on modules, we can publish updates pretty much anytime. And they basically say, don't use the SVN repository as like the place you push live code. It should be like after everything is done and tested, then you push it there as like a production area. But other than that, I don't know of a ton of rules around how often you can and should publish updates there. Our rule of thumb for Seriously Simple Podcasting is we try not to publish an update more than once a week unless it's like a really important hot live fix that we need to push. But anything with terms like bugs and updates and what you'd call like a patch, we wouldn't publish more than once a week. And those go live right away. But I know from talking before in Magento, there's like an approval process even for your updates, right?
Yeah, well, let me talk about the WordPress thing here for just a second, because I think that was an important thing. One thing I've noticed with updates in WordPress is that there is kind of an update fatigue. Like if you send too many updates back to back, even if you're doing it week, you know, on a weekly schedule. So you do one week and then you wait another week and you publish another one, you wait another week and publish another one. After a while, people are like, oh my God, what the hell is wrong with your code? And they stop wanting to update until things kind of stabilize. So, because you can check the download counts on WordPress.org to see how many people are updating. So if you wait for a 3-month period and then publish an update and that's it, you get a huge spike. But if you do like an update and then you follow it with another update and follow it with another update and then another one and another one and another one, like you'll see that the progressive spike size gets lower. Because yeah, I can see that people are like, oh my God, don't you have your shit together yet? For God's sakes, just make it work. So there's
it's
definitely...
Tough though, it's tough. I mean, we released our last major release was a couple of months ago. And I don't know that we plan on another major release. We don't have one planned, I'll say that. We have minor releases that are fixing bugs and adding small features, but... I mean, those major releases are hard. I mean, so hard. We talked about it. So hard to predict all of the things that can and will go wrong when you release a big update in WordPress.
Yeah, it's kind
it's
of a crapshoot.
Well, it's almost not worth it. I mean, because you take a chance with you take a chance with like the goodwill of your customers and your users. To where I don't know. I mean, emotionally, at least I'm kind of de-incentivized to push big, huge changes to the plugin. At this point, it's really, really stable. So anything we publish are minor improvements and bug fixes. And that's good. You know, it's good for our customers. It's good for our support. But the downside is it's tough to innovate that way.
It is, but I like the technique of just basically doing like private betas. So you get a subset of users that you trust that A, will give you feedback, and B, you know, are using your plugin actively. They're not just somebody says, hey, give me a beta, because I got some of those that say, give me the beta, and then I never hear from them. They totally ghost me.
Right.
But I have a number of users that actively use it, and they're like, oh, here's a laundry list of all the stuff you broke from that last release, Dave. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Because, I mean, we're just basically saving ourselves hours of support by going through this little process of somebody who's willing to do it. And there are people out there that are willing to do it. But you're right in that it definitely gives me serious pause to push a major release out the door, because it makes a huge, huge load in support if something goes wrong. Yeah. And I guarantee you something will go wrong. Like there's an environment you didn't test. There's something that you didn't think about on PHP 5.6, or WordPress 4.5 has some weird API quirk that causes the whole thing to go down. There's a conflict with Yoast, or I mean, just all kinds of crazy stuff can go wrong there. And there's no way to predict it all. Like you can't have a canonical set of 5 environments that represent 90% of your users in WordPress. I just have never figured out what that looks like. I can give you a general idea of what people are on and versions that we should check against and stuff like that. And we test against that stuff, but I guarantee you it does not shake out all of our support issues. So that's a huge, huge issue.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is I don't see that level of conflict happening on Magento.
Well, so talk about that. What do you think the dynamic there is?
Well, you know, clearly of the three platforms that I have experience with here, Shopify, Magento, and WordPress, WordPress I have the most. I've got years on that. Magento, I'll solidly say a year and a half at this point. Shopify, we're just getting introduced to it. So it's hard for me to have strong opinions about their update process or whatever. I can only talk about the publication. But on Magento, there definitely seems to be a stronger QA aspect to it. Like they run your extension through a series of checks to make sure that it won't blow up across a series of environments. So this is totally unlike WordPress, where they're like, Wild West, go for it, throw it out there, it's all on you. Magento actually has a QA process, and there's an automated piece to it and a non-automated piece to it. And Shopify has this as well. It's very interesting, but Shopify's, I'll bet, is way easier on the automated side because they control the platform. So there is literally one test they have to run. Like if it runs on this, then we're okay. if it passes these basic tests on our current platform. But Magento's got versions of PHP to check and various, you know, releases of Magento for Magento 1. We claim to support 1.5 to 1.9x on Magento 1. And Magento 2, we claim to support 2.0 to 2.2. I think 2.3 is coming out. So there's a lot, you know, there's still a wide range of stuff on there. But there are some automated tests that they have added so that the plugin must install cleanly. It must compile cleanly. There's a compilation step to it. And it must uninstall cleanly. So they've automated all of those three things to run as background. And, you know, there have been multiple times that we've checked in stuff, and for whatever, you know, weird stuff will trigger it. So you, in one case, I forget whether it's M1 or M2. I think it's M2. You check it in as a zip file. Well, if you do a zip file on Mac, there's this weird underscore OSX folder that gets created that's visible if you're on Windows, but it's totally invisible on Mac. Well, unfortunately, yeah, and I have a WinZip, so I actually have a Windows zip program to detect this specifically, and I check to make sure before we push it up there that folder has been deleted, because I've been caught by this a couple of times. You submit it, and then the automated script runs. It doesn't always run right away, so sometimes there's like a 1 hour, 6 hour, 1 day delay, depends on how much load there is on the extensions. And then all of a sudden you get a kickback that says, you failed automated QA. And then you have to read through the messages. And it's a bunch of automated garbage, and you're like, oh, God, I can't decipher this. But then one day I realized it was this extraneous folder that basically it was trying to do a scan of the root directory of my zip to see, is everything that I expect to be there and nothing else? And sure enough, this extra folder kicked in and kicked it right back. But it was like a day's delay before I found it out. I'm sure it might have been ignored on most Magento installations, but there's probably good reason that they actually check for that, because I'll bet that there's one or more that don't succeed on that.
Yeah.
So that's a step that is very unusual about Magento and Shopify, that they have this automated QA process that makes sure you pass some very basic tests, and I think that's very important. There's a certain level of compatibility that ensures that your plugin isn't just blatantly blowing up or causing the whole site to go down, because I am embarrassed to admit this, but on more than one occasion we have pushed out something on Business Directory plugin where there was some random version of PHP, usually the later ones or way earlier ones, where it just takes the whole frickin' site down.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh God, oh please, no, this is so bad. And so you just know you're going to get swamped with support. As soon as you get the first report of that, you're like, oh, man, oh, there goes my day.
Yeah, no, I will never forget. I mean, our first big release for Serious and Simple Podcasting was a broken plugin. And it's just, I mean, we've learned so many lessons from that. But
welcome to the repository.
Yeah, so that's a great, I mean, someone out there take this idea and submit it as like WordPress core update or something to build in automated tests. Because I think that's the way to do it in WordPress. There's so many plugins that are being updated so often, you can't have it be manual, done by a person. But like some automated basic tests say, like, if you install this on a site, does it break the site? That's really all you need to say. Or like, does it throw a PHP error? And like, I don't know, it seems like such an easy thing that, I don't know, it could be a paid plugin for someone. I would install that on my site, that if I install this, will it break my site? You could run a test against it maybe. Like as a conditional install or something, but it should be included in core. That would be fantastic. That would be really great.
I would love to see it in core. Now, so my friend Nathan Tyler, who I occasionally see when I'm out in Los Angeles, he has a great idea that centers around this exact thing right here. So he runs a tool called Staging Pilot. And Staging Pilot basically does exactly what you just described, but for plugin updates. So, yeah. And theme updates. So let's say an update gets published to Yoast, and you're staging, you have a staging site and a production site. What Staging Pilot will do is go to the staging site, take the update, do a snapshot of the site before, and look at your logs, and then run the update and take a snapshot of your site afterwards. And you can tell it to look at key pages or look at specific elements, and there's all kinds of stuff that you can tweak and monitor on there. But the core of it is, did something change that's bad?
Yeah.
And if it didn't change, then the update is good. You can auto-apply the update in production. But if something broke, then it sends you an automated report that says, hey, this is what we detected after we updated this plugin. You should go check it out. So it, you know, gives the human some break from having to do every single update yourself. But at the same time, it insulates you from all the stupid stuff that you would miss by just doing a blanket update, shove it out there and forgetting it, right?
Yeah. No,
so
for
it's,
sure.
It's that kind of an idea for WordPress.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think in general, it sounds like maybe the Magento. Yeah, so it's different. I mean, the Magento and WordPress obviously are open source, and Shopify is definitely kind of, they own the whole platform. So it's not apples and apples, but it sounds like the Magento process is a little more stringent, quite a bit more stringent. And I, even as a plugin owner, I have to say that sounds good. I would like someone else to be kind of looking over my shoulder, and for my sake and for like our users' sakes, right? Like letting anyone push code to people's websites is, I don't know, I'm not always safe. A little bit of oversight would be not horrible for me.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, probably, I think we could all use that extra set of eyes peering over our shoulders. I know as the single founder, when I'm pushing stuff out there, you know, I got 16 other things to worry about. When I get this done, maybe one of those other 15 things is already distracting me trying to do something else anyway. Yeah. And so I don't necessarily give it like 110% of my attention like I probably should. You know, there was a time that I was much more paranoid and detail-oriented about every little thing and just checking little details. Now I'm sort of like, yeah, that looks okay. All right, we'll just keep moving on, and if somebody blows up, I'll come back to it. But I got 16 other things to worry about on my list, so I can't, like, give it all of that time and energy that I used to do. And this would really help quite a bit. I think, you know, whether you're a WordPress person or a Magento person, to kind of have that pre-validation, I guess. So if you're looking for a product idea out there, there it is. Do some kind of a pre-process thing on plugins that you could double check for every extension release on that. And yeah, people would probably love you for that, because you'd have to check a wide variety of things. And you could just set up some standard environments and keep those up in AWS or LightSail or DigitalOcean or something like that for not too terribly much money. Install the plugins, do some kind of snapshotting technology on that, look in the PHP logs or whatever, and get that out. So there you go. Yeah. Free idea today on Rogue
Startups.
There you
go. We're solving problems all over the place.
Yes. Yes.
So, all right. So back to Shopify and your new app there. I know that social proof and things like reviews are probably really important. What else is the marketing plan look like for you with getting that initial bit of traction there?
Well, yeah, I don't want to skip over the social proof aspect of this, because this is literally the one thing that I think makes or breaks you in any ecosystem. So I've not noticed that a lack of reviews is killing me as much in Magento. It seems like I get a fair amount of traffic from organic search. So it's kind of hard to say, do people search on the marketplace and then find the extensions, or are they searching in Google, which happens to find the marketplace, and then they install the extensions? On Magento, it kind of feels like that. So if I was doing work on Magento, I might be focused more on SEO and less on social proof. But with Shopify, it is absolutely the opposite right now. If you wanted to get into SEO, there's a huge amount of competition on those keywords, I've looked. But it's a lot easier to get social proof to boost you in the rankings. And there are definitely a lot of things that are going to matter on that one. So I've already reached out to some of the beta users for Recapture on Shopify and said, hey, you know, I'd really appreciate it if you'd go in. We're live in the App Store now. Here's the link. Can you give me a review of the service? And so I would encourage, I'm going to open this up to the audience here as well. We'll put an app link to the Shopify app in the show notes. But one thing I will sort of put an asterisk on this conversation here. This, you can't just go and randomly review an app on Shopify unless you have a real store. So unless you're like a user that has access to a paid Shopify store and you can install the app and review it or whatever, you're not going to be able to do this. But if you do have that, if you are a Shopify consultant or building stores for somebody else, anyway, I would encourage you install ReCAPTCHR, take a look at it, give me a review of it. You know, I would take honest reviews at this point. If you think that there's something deficient, then let us know. I personally think the service is pretty solid. It's out there. It does really well. We've got a couple of years of history to back it up. So I feel like it's probably a good candidate for a 5-star review. And that sort of stuff would really make a huge difference right now, because I'm looking at other abandoned cart solutions that exist in the Shopify App Store. And the high end is like 2,300 reviews. And the low end is like, you know, a couple dozen. Wow. So, yeah, I mean, you got to run the mark. Now, but here's the interesting thing. So whereas WordPress, if you are highly rated in WordPress, boom, you're at the top of the list. And it is really hard to knock you out of that list, let me tell you. Because I'm sitting at the top of searches for directory, business directory stuff on WordPress.org. And we literally have the highest number of reviews. We're around 400 right now. My next two competitors have probably in the 200s and the 300s respectively, and then everybody else has practically nothing. So to displace any one of the three of us is really going to be challenging at this point, because obviously WordPress heavily weights those review counts against everything else, because I've not noticed that anybody can really knock me out of those top slots except when I haven't updated and one of my competitors has. So it's a combination of that, but I never fall below a certain point. So social proof is huge on WordPress. Social proof is huge on Shopify, but it's not the only thing they wait on in Shopify. It seems like there's kind of a random aspect to the search algorithm. So I actually went and typed in abandoned cart today in the Shopify store, and I was in like the top third of the results. And it shows it as it's one page for all the abandoned cart solutions. And I was shocked to be displayed at the top. I figured I was going to be the absolute very bottom. I started looking down there and I panicked because I was like, I can't find it.
Yeah.
But that wasn't it. And then I started looking a little more carefully. And sure enough, I put a banner image on there that was pretty clear and would be one that would stand out, that I thought would stand out pretty well. And as I'm scanning through it, I'm like, oh, there it is right there. And sure enough, I'm in the top third. And I'll bet that if you were to go right now and look at it yourself, it wouldn't necessarily be there. I think it tends to move around a little bit, which helps prevent one vendor from sort of hoovering up all of the stores.
Sure.
I think they want to give new entries a chance to get those reviews, because otherwise it's basically going to be an incumbent only market. So as long as you were the first one to get in and you're sucking up all those reviews, you're going to stay at the top and continue to get more reviews. So that's pretty much how WordPress operates. I've not seen that so much on Magento, but I'm guessing that the marketplace is not where people use as their search engine. I think they just go straight to Google.
Yeah. Super interesting. Huh. Well, for sure, getting those reviews in Shopify sounds super important, but it's nice that there is like some variety to it. So that's fantastic. I mean, it sounds like the reviews would sure help and get you probably a better chance of ranking high. But even if not, sounds like they are very fair and kind of mix things up a bit to give you guys the exposure that you want. That's awesome.
Well, I certainly hope so. But I didn't answer the second part of your question, which was, what am I doing to promote this at this point?
Yeah, I thought you were just sidestepping that. But
sidestep? No, I'm not. Here on Rogue Startups, we answer the hard questions, my friend.
That's right.
So for additional promotion on this, right now I've been on a podcast tour. So I've been on The Business of E-Commerce with Charles Pulaski, Unofficial Shopify Podcast with Kurt Elster. Actually, I got a bonus episode out of that one. We did a great episode on customer service. I had proposed one topic, and Kurt was like, nah, that one's not so fantastic. It was about GDPR. And then all of a sudden, after we got the first episode done, he emails me back. He's like, oh, my God, GDPR is like hugely important. You have to come back on and talk about it. And I'm like, okay.
Bam, there you go.
So I just got 2 episodes out of that. That's pretty exciting. And Kurt's a fun guy to talk to. So that's pretty cool. You've been on there as well. So you know that podcast.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
He was on the homepage of Shopify Business Partners when I logged in today, actually.
Yeah, he's got the most awesome suit. So he's like Kai Davis. Like, he has these cool suits. So Kai has this sort of like comic book hero suit that he wears to MicroConf. And Kurt has this camouflage jacket that he wears. It's a suit jacket made out of camo.
It's incredible.
And he
right?
wears that. Yeah, he has a picture of him as the Shopify professional there. So he's definitely a personality. He's got he's a lot of fun. Yeah, but anyway, I've done several podcasts like that. Another one, the Wave Break podcast with Dylan Kelly, and one with Brandon Mosqua. And I'm trying to get on some others, but those are all the ones that I've gotten on so far. So just promoting general awareness, getting links built out there, trying to get in front of people in the podcast audience. I think I might try some podcast sponsorships.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because if I sponsor the right podcast with a decent-sized audience, you know, you can kind of repeat that message over several episodes and get a little bit of amplification there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's funny. We sponsored a couple of podcasts for Castos a while back, and I can see – I think we just need to do more of it, because I can see if you get it right, it's great. And some really big businesses are doing it now, so – I think, if you get it right, it could be really great. So I'll be interested to hear what your update is there here in the next couple
of weeks. So would you say that Castos was giving you some positive results on that?
You mean did Castos see positive results? Yeah.
Sorry. Grammar is not my strong suit today. I'm too excited to actually use good grammar.
No. It's okay. Yeah. So you know what it is at the time we did it, which it was almost right after we relaunched as Castos, it was like brand awareness in the community. So we did like WordPress podcasts. And so it was like brand awareness in the community. I think that's really helped. But I think if we did it again, we would do some kind of special offer as an affiliate, as the person who was we were sponsoring their show was an affiliate of ours, to where they really are incentivized not just by the podcast sponsorship, but by kind of our ongoing affiliate deal that we have. So
that's
how I would do it. And I think that if you do it like that, you should really get some traction. Cause I mean, especially like you would do e-commerce or Magento or Shopify podcasts are super, super, super highly targeted audiences. And that's a good thing with podcast sponsorships. You can pick the type of people that you're talking to really easily.
Right. And I mean, I think there's a lot to be said for highly targeted podcasts. So obviously you get the right audience. Then there's a lot of times where the person that's promoting the podcast, you know, it's their podcast, so their own Twitter feed is constantly getting rehashes of the certain episodes so that people can see it. You know, a lot of the times we're pretty lazy on our promotion, I have to say, but we're not trying
to push
anything.
We're very lazy. So. You're being kind. I don't think we do any, right? Yeah.
Well, you tweet it, I tweet it. Sometimes I'll tweet it more than once, but that's about it. Like, I know people that are like retweeting it once a week for multiple weeks in a row, or multiple times in a week for multiple weeks in a row to try to amplify that episode and get people to listen to it. And they have, you know, larger audiences than we do and better engagement, but they also have sponsors to try to appease and make sure that there are enough people out there getting that podcast in front of them to maximize the sponsorship value. And so I can understand that you get the right audience where somebody's doing that, and it has a tremendous value because you know that you're going to hit a larger percentage of the listeners more frequently and more consistently.
Yep. 100%. 100%.
Well, so I think we've talked about the platform stuff to death at this point, at least as much as we're capable of doing for now, but I hope that answers the question. Do you remember whose question that was offhand, Craig?
It was from Paul Bleich. Yep.
Paul, yes, thank you. So, Paul, I hope that answers your question. And then maybe we should do a little updates. You want to go first, Craig?
Yeah, for sure. We are we're looking at pushing a pretty big update to Castos, the web app, in the next couple of days, probably by the time this goes live. God, I hope. Around some analytics, which will really kind of finish out the core app as being what I would consider pretty feature complete, which is exciting. You know, we've been almost around for a year now and we're finally feature complete, which I think is a lesson to all of us that like it doesn't have to be done to launch. We definitely have things we've been adding iteratively for the last year and still are getting and keeping customers. So that's been cool. But we'll take a big kind of load off of my shoulders and Blake, our support rep, to be able to answer all of these questions about like, hey, where is this? Or do you have that? And we'll be able to say yes to pretty much everything that we should have here, I'll say by the end of the week. So that's cool. And then we're looking at doing some more marketing activities because up till now we've been relying on our affiliates to drive a decent amount of traffic and new signups at this point, but also WordPress as kind of a growth engine. And we're looking at doing a couple of other marketing and promotional things here, I'll say in the second half of the year, because I mean, we're almost kind of at the beginning of May. So that's exciting because the business has grown really organically. But I think, Dave, you'd be proud of me. I've done a good job of not trying to code and not pretending that I'm a developer and just focusing on marketing. And
very good. Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, I have to say, it's not paying off. Well, it is paying off because I've been really focusing on like supporting our existing customers and getting new ones. And in that respect, like the business is growing really well, but it gives me the headspace to think strategically about like, okay, looking forward a couple of weeks, we're going to do this and this and this, and we're going to do this kind of deal and this partnership and all this kind of stuff. Whereas if I was trying to do anything else with a business, I don't have the headspace for all that stuff. So it's exciting to kind of look forward a little bit at like what the rest of the year will look like for Castos. And I see some really good things, and I'm excited that we're on a good trajectory, and our big conference. I know you have MicroConf and Shopify Unite. Our big conference is in July, the end of July in Philadelphia, Podcast Movement. So I'm very excited for us to be, you know, a relatively established player going to that, and like meeting some of our customers and our affiliates and all that kind of stuff will be pretty cool. So a lot to look forward to there.
Yeah, so that all sounds pretty exciting. And with your upcoming major conference here, I'll be interested to hear how your meetups go. I know I am very excited here in the very near future. We're a week out from MicroConf. Not even a week. It's 4 days. Right now it's snowing like the Dickens in Colorado, as it usually does in spring. And I'm looking forward to 90-degree temps in Vegas with absolutely no precipitation. I'm sitting by a pool, some sort of alcoholic beverage in my hand and shorts on and a t-shirt, which I have not been able to engage in even remotely for a very, very long, painful time.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I can just imagine you poolside with the umbrella with a drink. That sounds right up at rear alley.
There you go. There you go. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Also got Shopify Unite coming up a week after MicroConf, although that's going to be up in Toronto. It won't be quite as warm, but I'm excited. It's been a while since I've been up to Toronto, so I get to say hello to everybody in the Shopify space. I've already got a few people on the list to meet while I'm up there and just network and make some connections and kind of get the lay of the land. This will be my first Shopify Unite. So if you're out there and you're coming to Shopify Unite, please try to find me. You can see what I look like in the Twitter profile and the bio on the site here. And please come hunt me down, whichever conference you are at. Well, actually, don't hunt me down, because then I won't be able to do any more episodes on Rogue Startups. But you can find me. You can find me and talk to me. I would appreciate that much better. But yeah, so as far as updates and things like that go, I kind of hinted at some of the stuff I've been doing here quite a bit lately. So obviously, I've been on a variety of different podcasts, which has been a real challenge to schedule around all of that. And some weaving that in with freelance work and various updates to Shopify stuff has been a bit of a challenge. But I am excited to see that all come to fruition here with the publication of the app on the Shopify store this week. And now we're just sort of heads down into GDPR mode. We pushed our first update. I sent out an update to the email list saying, hey, here's all the stuff we're doing for GDPR. And, you know, contrary to my expectation, I didn't see 100% unsubscribe on the list. People were actually interested in reading that stuff, finding out what's going on, because it's still on everybody's mind. So that's reassuring to know. And, yeah, just heads down, pushing forward, making some headway. I think somebody asked me on Twitter today if I was going to be moving to BigCommerce next. And I'm like, hell no, I'm going to rest.
Right.
I've got a couple of conferences coming up. This is not the time I'm looking to buckle down and go to another platform yet. I might at some point, but yeah, that's not on my immediate future. You know, we've got between the GDPR and the Shopify push, we've put features on the back seat for a little while. It's time to bring them back to the front because, you know, that's what keeps customers around, especially when they're looking for specific things that you don't have. And they're only willing to wait so long before you don't have them, and then they can go to somebody else. So, yeah. Anyway, that's what's on the plan for me here.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I think, you know, the only other thing from my perspective is looking at what, you know, our the product of SalesCamp, the actual kind of product that we acquired is vastly different than what we have now. And so we're looking at... been doing a lot of kind of reading and podcast listening and thinking about how we're going to best kind of ramp up sales and marketing efforts, because what it's turning out to be is not the kind of app like Castos is, maybe where it's, you know, $15 a month, people just come and sign up and go and stuff. It'll be starting as a $60 a month, probably be $100 a month by the end of the year. To where real sales and demo calls and things like that are going to be more necessary. So, you know, for better or worse, I don't know if it's good or bad. I think overall it's good, but it's definitely taking a lot of thought on my end about how to kind of structure the funnel of, you know, like top of funnel, middle and bottom of funnel, awareness and need and conversion and stuff like that. And thinking about the steps that a customer would take along their journey to become a customer, because nobody signs up for, few people sign up for a $50 a month product without some sort of like hand-holding along the way, much less $100 a month or $200 a month, which a lot of our competitors are $200 to $500 a month in the referral and affiliate space. So looking at like how to get some customers on board now, relatively easily, but as the app becomes more complex and deserves to be priced higher, how to build the systems and processes for like real sales and streamlining the demo process and all that kind of stuff that could be overwhelming really quick, which would be a great problem. But I'm trying to think about it ahead of time to like begin with the end in mind and say like, this is what it's going to end up looking like in the end. I should start with processes and procedures and stuff like that to get ourselves ready to kind of meet that demand on time and resources in the future. So it's a fun and interesting problem to have. And it's very different than we have with Castos, because Castos, it's not necessarily like onboarding and pre-sales questions, but support after somebody gets set up. And I'm sure we'll have that with SalesCamp, the more customers we get on board, but especially as it becomes a more complex product with APIs and stuff like that, looking at how we can pre-qualify and onboard people easier at a, you know, higher price point in a more complex product. So, yeah, a lot of thinking and a little bit of planning and doing some strategic, I don't know, preparation, I guess. So it's fun and very different, but that's cool.
You know what I just thought of?
What's that?
In about 3 to 6 months, I want to do an episode with you finding out how weird it's getting running two orthogonal products where each one of them is so different from the other that it's hard to get, you know, a synergy of commonality between them.
Yeah.
It's the same problem that I have with the WordPress plugins and Recapture, right? Like there's really nothing I can overlap between them except maybe like, oh, hey, I can learn Facebook ads and maybe I can use it on both of them, right? You know, that kind of a thing. But you're kind of in the same boat. So I think we should commiserate on that in some upcoming episode. But I think you need a few more months to to feel that pain, and then we can talk about the perspectives of running multiple different products at once, because I think that's going to be interesting for you to get into.
No,
I mean, it's already getting interesting for you. I know that, but I think it's going to be even more once you start getting paid at customers on Sales Camp.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just, so there's a couple things. I 100% agree with what you say. The type of business is the biggest difference, and the type of customers, right? I mean, we have customers for Castos that can't afford the $15 a month plan. And that's totally cool. I get it. When I started, I didn't want to pay $15 a month for Libsyn as a podcaster, right? So like, I totally get it. But now we're looking at like $100 a month is, you know, right around the corner probably. In a couple months, we get a handful of new features and we should be charging $100 a month. But you know, the only thing at this point that I can apply across both businesses is how I communicate with and work with the developers. And that's been wonderful to have learned kind of slowly with our team at Castos and Seriously Simple Podcasting. And now I step into working with our developers for Sales Camp, and it's great. I talk about how I want to run things, and they're like, yep, that's good. That's good. We do it like this, but okay, that's fine. You know, like, it's been a really quick like ramp up in terms of like speccing things out and testing environments and all this kind of stuff. Whereas, I mean, shit, when we started developing Seriously Simple Hosting a year and a half ago, it was a disaster. Admittedly, it was a total dumpster fire. But yeah, I mean, marketing, sales, support, onboarding are going to be totally different. Totally different. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. All right. So file that in the back of your head when we're like, hey, what should we talk about? That's what we should talk about, but in about 3 to 6 months.
Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds good. Interesting.
And for everybody else that's out there, thanks for your question today, Paul. Appreciate that. And for anybody else, if you have any listener questions, we are more than happy to answer them on air, assuming that we know whatever it is that you're asking about.
And if not, we're just going to lie.
we're either going to lie, we're going to make something up, or we're going to Google it and pretend like we're smarter than we really are. No, we wouldn't do that. But if you have a question that you'd like us to try to toss around a little bit on the show or speak from our personal experience here, we're happy to do that. Give us a shout, podcast@roguestartups.com. And if you're enjoying how things are going, please leave us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate hearing from you. Until next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.